And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It was just crazy. We looked at each other like, what?
Are we really ready for this moment? Like, we were so excited and like we knew it was gonna happen. But then in that moment of like, holy cow, like this is actually happening.
I took that onesie and I made a cute little sign that said, hi, daddy, I can't wait to meet you. And I put the positive test and I laid it all out on our dining room table. And then I sat for like 2 hours.
You've landed on the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. As a crazy mom of six and a diehard birth geek, I created this space for parents to come and share their unique journeys to parenthood. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, there's no journey alike. So help me in honoring these stories and sit back, relax, and let your inner birth geek indulge.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have Ashley Ziegler here, and she is going to be sharing her story about her baby girl. So without further ado, Ashley, thank you so much for coming on today. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Well, I'm Ashley. right now, I live in Twin Falls, Idaho, and I gave birth to little baby girl Zoe back in January of this year. And she is our first. And so it's just the three of us living it up and staying inside. So, yeah, I don't know if there's anything else you want to know, but. Yep.
No, that's totally fine. So you can just hop into your story wherever you want to start.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess from the beginning, I had had a pretty smooth, easy pregnancy. And I know that that may come back to bite me in the butt if I have another kid, but I didn't throw up at all. I mean, I was nauseous at the beginning, but I didn't throw up at all. And, I mean, it was smooth sailing. My doctor appointments were always really short and, you know, everything looked good. She was growing well. And then, at the beginning of the year, so I was probably 36, 37 weeks along, and I had to switch doctors, because of insurance reasons or whatever. Anyway, this new doctor, did urine samples at every appointment, whereas my previous doctor that I had before did not. And I thought that was kind of weird at first because people told me, like, you know, drink water before you go to every doctor appointment because they're going to need a sample. But my doctor never, ever asked for one. But then this new doctor did. And the first two appointments I had with him, he kind of noticed that I had high levels of protein in my urine and my blood pressure was like crazy, crazy high. And, that was really, really concerning for him, but it hadn't been for my first doctor. And so I was kind of like, you know, what does this mean? Like, I have no idea. And, he had sent in one of my urine tests for some extra testing. Turns out the level of protein was so high, and based off of my high blood pressure, he then diagnosed me with preeclampsia. And before that, I also had to do like a 24-hour urine test. Like, it was within a matter of like 3 days that I had all this testing done, and then I was diagnosed, and he called me like on a Tuesday morning, and he was like, well, you pretty much, you know, have preeclampsia, you're at risk for it or whatever. So we need to get this baby here. I need you to come in tomorrow morning at 7 to be induced. And me and my husband were like, oh my gosh, like what? Like, we thought we had at least, you know, another 2 or 3 weeks. A lot of people are telling us that we would probably, you know, go maybe to 41 weeks with our first, and you know, all of a sudden she needs to be here by tomorrow or whatever. And, So we hurrying through our bags together, and we just did our best to, you know, enjoy our quote last day, just the two of us. Mm-hmm. And then we showed up to the hospital the next day about 7 a.m. and they hooked me up to Pitocin, and that is a whole experience in and of itself. If anyone has ever had to have Pitocin, I did okay for a little while, and then eventually I got the epidural. I wasn't trying to or planning to go without the epidural, but you know, I did want to see how far I could go before I got it. But anyway, I had been in labor for 12 plus hours at this point. Doctor had just broke my water, and we were kind of cutting it close to needing a C-section versus having a vaginal delivery. And I really didn't want to have a C-section, not that I have anything against that. My sister's had multiple, and all of her children are wonderful. But this was something that I kind of wanted for myself, was to deliver vaginally. And anyway, or probably 10 o'clock, I had progressed pretty quickly to, I'm sure, somewhere like a 7 or 8, I think. And anyway, so from that moment forward, we practiced pushing and breathing and all the things. And around 2:40, 2:42, I think they said, the next morning, she was born. And it was wonderful. And I didn't need a C-section. And I was so, so tired. But she didn't cry. She wasn't crying. And I know they tell you to try not to panic if that happens, because there are some babies that don't cry right away. But come to find out, she was struggling to breathe. And I remember they put her on my chest, you know, so I could kind of have that moment. And I wanted that. And then they, you know, kind of came in and took her. They had a respiratory therapist come in and a nurse with him to try to help her breathe a little bit better. And in that moment they had taken her, my doctor was struggling to get my placenta to come out. And he had a student, a doctor student with him, that I allowed to be in there for the delivery. And I remember hearing him ask her, you know, how long do we have to get the placenta out before we like absolutely have to go in there and get it out, like before it becomes, you know, a high risk. And she said 30 minutes, and he said correct. And so I laid there on the bed and I watched him push on my stomach and try to get this placenta to come out, and time is just ticking, and I'm like, oh my goodness, it's almost 30 minutes. Like, I'm getting scared. I'm like, I don't know what to expect, what to happen, like what is going on. Like, this is my first kid. I know nothing about placentas or anything, so I was kind of freaking out, but I'm also trying to pay attention to, like, is my daughter okay? Like, I still don't hear her crying, but the respiratory therapist is telling the doctor that she's okay. They put some oxygen on her, or like the little oxygen thing in her nose, and she was doing fine. And finally they got my placenta to come out after the 30 minutes, which was kind of scary. And then I hemorrhaged, and the doctor just started yelling for more help. A nurse ran out of the room to get more nurses and more help, and things were just, it just felt kind of like a blur, almost like I don't remember it, but I do in a way. It just, everything just happened so fast, and so many people came in, and everyone was running around, and I'm trying to pay attention to my daughter, but they're asking me if I'm feeling okay, if I'm feeling lightheaded. And I just remember feeling tired, but that was pretty much it. And after, you know, however long, I just finally asked the doctor. I was like, am I okay? Is everything okay? Like, what's going on? And he was like, you're fine. You know, you hemorrhaged, and but we were able to stop the bleeding, and your placenta's out, and I've just got to stitch you back up. You did tear a little bit inside, but you're going to be okay. And anyway, so then things kind of died down, and that was kind of scary for a second there, because I just didn't really understand what was going on. My little girl, she, you know, was fine, and they gave her some oxygen, and my mom and sister and my mother-in-law were there, and they came in to meet, you know, our baby and to say hi to me. And then the next day, kind of, you know, the first day in the hospital, you're just like totally tired and worn out, and you're like, what the heck did I just do? And you know, sending everybody pictures and answering phone calls and texts and you know, all the congratulations. And it was a pretty normal day, but we kind of noticed that she still wasn't like really breathing good. Her oxygen levels kind of fluctuated a lot, on and off throughout the day, and that kind of worried the doctor a little bit. And so we just tried to watch her. And of course, you know, with that trouble breathing and the tubes in her nose, it made breastfeeding really hard, because she just didn't like it. She didn't want the oxygen. And it was a really tough first day, and I'm just exhausted. And later that night, I'm sure it was around 10 or 11 at night, we were like, okay, let's try to get some sleep. Probably go home tomorrow. And I remember like wanting to keep her with us in our hospital room overnight. I remember just being like, oh, I really just want her next to me. Like, I don't want to send her to the nursery, but I just know that I'm really probably not going to get rest if I don't send her to the nursery. Like, I'll probably just be sleeping with one eye open, you know, the whole time. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, it's probably best if I send her to the nursery. So I sent her to the nursery, and the next thing I remember, it was probably 1 or 2 in the morning, my doctor woke me up. We lived in a small town at the time, and so he literally had just come from his house. He woke up in the middle of the night, came to the hospital, and he woke us up, and he said, you know, Zoe is really, really struggling to breathe, and even with all the oxygen and the scans, they did a couple x-rays while we were things that, you know, we've done. We're just really, really concerned, and we only have, you know, so many things we can do for her here at this small hospital. So he, while we were called and talked to a neonatologist at a bigger hospital in a nearby city, and kind of discussed the things with her, and just to see what her opinion was and if we should transfer her up to the NICU to get some help. And the doctor just said, absolutely, like, bring her here. I want her. We need to figure out what's going on. And, you know, we've obviously got more things that could possibly help her. And so next thing I know, I'm being discharged, which I think now that I look back, I think people probably would have looked at my doctor cross-eyed, like, this woman just gave birth 24 hours ago and you're releasing her already. Like, this is crazy. And, but I think he did it because he knew that I would want to go, and because I didn't have a C-section, there weren't that many complications, and that I was probably safe to be released early. So, they discharged me, and we were kind of waiting to figure out what was really going on. And my husband had driven home to let, you know, our moms know that, like, this is what was going on. And then we found out that Life Flight wasn't able to come get her because there was a snowstorm approaching, and they just didn't feel like it was safe. So that they decided they were going to send an ambulance instead. And this hospital that has a NICU was about an hour and a half away, just one direction from where we were living at the time. And so we had to wait for them to come and get us. And we drove to this new hospital in the middle of the night. It was by far the worst snowstorm I've ever witnessed, driven through. And it was pitch black. It was so scary. And I don't know how the driver made it there, but he did. And my daughter was safe. But they did have to sedate her and put her on a ventilator. And that helped with her breathing a lot. Anyway, so we got there and she ended up spending about 3 days in the NICU. And I'm grateful that it wasn't longer because I know some of those babies are there for a really long time. But she progressed and did so much better. Like literally the second we got there, they were able to take her off CPAP machine the next day. They took off the, you know, oxygen from her face the day after that. And she was able to completely breathe on her own, keep her levels up. I mean, she just someone turned the light on and it just started working. And you know, we're really grateful for that. And she passed all of her tests. And, you know, like I said, we were able to come home after just a few days, but it was really crazy. And I just remember going home, you know, after that and just thinking, oh my gosh, 7 days ago, I was doing a urine test to see if I had preeclampsia. And then everything just fell apart. I guess I don't know how else to put it, but it just was definitely not the birth experience I imagined I would have or kind of pictured or wanted, I guess. I don't think anybody wants a scary birth experience. But it was, and it still affects me a little bit to this day. You know, I have a hard time looking at pictures of her from when she was back in the NICU, but you know, I'm so grateful that my doctor at the time made that decision that she needed more help than they could offer, and you know, and sent her. And I'm grateful that he was able to stop my bleeding and that, you know, I wasn't in a serious condition anymore, because that was really scary that both of us were struggling. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of my story, and I feel like it's unique, but I'm sure there are other women out there who have had something similar happen, and it's been kind of nice to hear from them. And because this is my first kid.
Yeah.
I don't have any other births to compare it to. So
yes. Well, and birth has a way of completely humbling you, because you can plan all you want and, you know, research and, you know, have all the knowledge in the world and the best of intentions and the best of plans, and birth kind of just sometimes does what it wants, you know, it just, absolutely. That's what's so awesome about, you know, pregnancy and birth, in my opinion, is that none of them are exactly alike. Sure, there's relatable aspects in everything, but I mean, even a woman's second, third, you know, fourth pregnancies can be are always different. None of them can ever copycat, I feel. There's always something that makes it different. And so that's why I really enjoy these podcasts and talking to people and hearing their stories, because you seriously learn something new. And just the way that the events play out for each woman is just really, really interesting. So, I noticed you said that she was born in January. So that was pre-pandemic, before it really got crazy. I live in Idaho too. So
yes.
Idaho really didn't get into the pandemic thing until about mid-March, and that's when our first case was in Idaho and stuff like that. And so I actually was pregnant at the time. I had my sixth baby in March, March 26th to be exact. So I kind of went through that whole pandemic thing. And right, it was, I believe it was March 13th was the first case in Idaho. And so I was just curious of how your experience, I mean, you don't know any different, obviously, but because of you had gave birth before the pandemic, but I was just curious if anything was, if there was any talk about any of like COVID-19 and stuff when you were in the hospital or anything of that nature.
No, there wasn't. I mean, even in the NICU, it was just the normal, like, come in and wash your hands and clean your phone. And that's it. There was no mask requirement. There wasn't even like any type of warning or like, oh, potentially this. Like, I don't even think it was until after she was born, because she was born on the 16th. And so it was about mid-January that the news kind of shared about like all the cruise ships. Cause I feel like that's my first memory of it. And I feel like it was right after I had had my baby that they had kind of been like, oh, these cruise ships are in quarantine. And then, so I'm grateful that I didn't have to wear a mask or that there weren't any restrictions and that my family could be there because I don't know how I would handle that or like how it would be for me. And I just want to hug all the moms out there, you know, that had to have a baby in the pandemic, and I'm grateful, but it's still been hard because I haven't, you know, in my own way, it's been hard because I haven't been able to have family or friends come and help me take care of, you know, my baby if I need, because we've all had to quarantine.
Yeah. So you are dealing with some of it, you know. That was rough for me too. After I had my baby, the postpartum area there, that immediate postpartum, you know, the first few weeks of like, you know, you have your baby and you want to share them with your family and your friends and stuff, and not being able to do that was definitely a little rough, but we all band together and we all are here to support each other and we can all relate in that aspect. I mean, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. I really liked being able to come home and be like, okay, we can chill. Nobody was coming over. So I was like, I don't really have to stress about the house or anything. I did have a couple friends that did bring us meals, but they just dropped them by kind of thing. But is there, when you were pregnant, were there any like resources or anything that you found helpful for you, that you want to share? Or was there anything that you enjoyed, or is there a product you enjoy that you want to share about?
You know, I can't think of a lot off of the top of my head, but some people told me, and this was before I got on, I think it's called Zofran, I think it's the anti-nausea medicine. This is before I got that from my doctor, but they're called Preggy Pops. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
I have.
But a lot of people told me to try those before I was able to get the prescription from my doctor. And they truly helped. It was the weirdest thing because I was like, this is sour candy. Are you serious? I want to have nothing right now. And you want me to put this in my mouth? But it truly helped. And once I finally got the Zofran, I obviously didn't need to take it anymore, but I have told all my friends about the little Preggy Pops, and oh my gosh, it was a game changer. And the other thing that really, really helped, I remember, was compression socks, especially because I had the high blood pressure. I was swelling up really, really bad, and compression socks really, really helped, and they were comfy. So if any mamas out there have swelling, I recommend compression socks because they're the best. But that's really it. I mean,
well, those are both good resources. I mean, you never know. Somebody out there is always willing to try something. And so I like to always ask people about what they love, or there was a product or something that they loved, because you just never know these days. Like, somebody's like, oh,
whatever to survive.
Why didn't I? Yep. So, well, Ashley, I want to thank you so much for hopping on to the podcast today and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, y'all.
That's all the time we have for this episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in being a guest on our show, find us on Instagram at From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook. Thank you so much for your support and listening, and until next time, I am your host, Ricky Hamley.